This is a moment I want to thank all of you who listen to Coast, and of course the outpouring of affection for Art in his deepest moment, I believe, of his life at this point. Special thanks to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations throughout the country, throughout North America, throughout Canada. Truly appreciate everything you have done to keep Coast to Coast what it is today. It is your radio show, no doubt about that. Special thanks, of course, to StreamLink members who have truly done a remarkable job over the last few years supporting this program. You call yourself the Coast Riders, and what a ride you've given us, and what a ride it will be. So thank you to all of you as well. Those of you listening on XM Satellite, thank you. Lots of truck drivers out there doing that. The various chat rooms from around the country, the new one, the up-and-coming, celebrating their fifth month, the NighthawkZone.com people. Simply NighthawkZone.com. Thank you so much for your very, very strong support. The Fantastic Forum Pirates, obviously you headed up by Spike Mike, just a good, decent group of people with tremendous insight, and special thanks for you. I know you were formed when Coast was formed, basically, and that allegiance is just so important to the program and to Art especially. So special thanks to all of you, especially now, more so now. National Radio Club members, various Yahoo chat rooms, the list just continues to grow. The program continues to grow, and it's all because of you. So just at this point, this very special point today, for obvious reasons, thanks to all of you. And I'll be back in a moment. We've got 2 hours of open lines, and as I said before, though, Art is the one I think you should talk to when the time comes about this moment in his life. I know a lot of you are grieving as well over the loss of Ramona. And if you so choose, the lines will be open for you tonight as well. I'll be back in a moment. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines, and let's go right to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Mark, truck driver.
Where'd you go, Mark? Well, he's gone. Simple as that, disappeared. Well, let's go to our east of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome to the program, sir.
How's it going? To me, the greatest radio program on the planet, to me. And much thanks to you guys, by all means.
Thank you.
And this is Joe from the Detroit, Michigan. And I have something to ask regarding Nostradamus question, actually.
Okay, I'll see if I can answer that for you. If not, I know exactly who to steer you to.
Okay, I noticed this year is a very strange year in numbers. Like every year is a great year for numbers, especially with Nostradamus, especially. This year is going to be a year when you have the number 666 prominent with the June 6th, 2006. And
yes.
I was wondering if at all possible, if there's anything to do with Nostradamus and his predictions for this year regarding those numbers.
Well, we will find out with that, the joke, because that is a number that will come up, as you say, June 6, 666, very strange year. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people in Holland rushing to put in applications to get married on that day. I don't know why. That's the one day I wouldn't want to be married, but that's what they're doing. But go to this website. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, on the left-hand side, click Show Info, and then Guests, and look for a fellow's name by the name of John Hogue. Let me spell it for you, H-O-G-U-E. It sounds like H-O-A-G, but it's H-O-G-U-E, expert on Nostradamus. And he has posted some predictions for 2006. Just go ahead and take a look at it. I think some of it will surprise you. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
George.
Yes.
Hi, Joe. I'm one of your truck drivers.
Hi, Joe. You got to prove it. There you go. Not that I doubted you, Joseph.
It's actually Joey.
Joey, okay.
I'm the youngest of nine. My mom ran out of names. George, what I wanted to talk about, to elaborate a little bit farther on what Mr. Quayle had been talking of earlier, how many people are actually aware of the changes that have taken place with our hours of service and how it's actually affecting us? And it's going to eventually cause us to be able to haul less freight.
Well, that's true. The regulations, are you talking about the ones that went into effect a few years ago, or are there new ones now?
Well, most recently, this past October. Now, the changes that went into effect a few years ago, the drivers pretty much applauded because we were able to pick up an extra hour every day. If we stood down for 34 hours off duty, we could completely restart our 70. We had to show a 10-hour break. And the way it had worked out, initially, it was a 14-hour rule in which 14 hours from the time we started our day, we had to stop. However, that time could be expanded out if we spend time in sleeper berth. Now, that would give us a chance to drive, say, 5 or 6 hours, take a nap, and feel fresh, and finish our 10 or 11-hour run, and then finish our the remainder of our sleeper berth time, and we could start allowing us what we had previously driven prior to our first sleeper berth break. So this makes sense so far?
Well, yeah, because I understand the truck driving regulations, but and basically though, by this change, it means then that you're going to be hauling less time. Are things going to get backed up on us?
Well, what's happened is this past October, they have taken away our ability to break our sleeper berth time. So even if we do go to sleeper berth 14 hours from the time we start our duty, we must shut down regardless of how many miles we've driven. Now, that means that if we spend, say, 4 hours at this dock, in which we could be in the sleeper berth and go to another dock on a multiple stop load, that doesn't help us anymore because regardless of what time we spend in sleeper berth, we have to stop.
Wow, we're losing you too. This is going to be one of those strange nights of bad phone call quality. I wonder if it's sunspot night. First time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Oh, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, George. This is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I'm from Baker City, Oregon. I'm listening to you on KBKR.
All right, Tim. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to first let you know, actually first-time caller, and for many years listened to Art Bell well before the Arts Parts time, if you recall that.
Yeah.
And our condolences certainly go out to him and heartfelt sympathy in his loss.
Thank you.
But carrying on from there, listening to you the other night, and it was the night that we got the false report about the miners,
mm-hmm.
and you had talked about them and then about our military and what they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan for us. And then there was that pause and hesitation in your voice that we don't often hear. And I remember you came back on and said, that you were supposed to be the tough guy. Well, we want you to know that we appreciate the feeling that we got at that time because it let us know that you care. And we could really feel that from the heart, us listeners out here, that you're not only the radio show host, but that you care about America and you care about what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That was a moment for me.
Well, and we appreciate it. I just did want to mention one other quick thing, and that is
sure.
Concerning what Steve Quayle had talked about with China. I have a relative who's in the military, and one of the things that he does is puts up scenarios as, a first strike type situation, how would countries respond, these kind of things. And I've talked with him several times about the situation with China and told him, because of a dream that I had, that they should really be concerned with making sure that we are ready to respond to any kind of move by China as a first strike. And he said, well, he says, we don't have that in the computer. He says, China's not a aggressive country. They'll never strike out first. And I have to tell you that my dream told me that China will strike, but it's after they have Iran and the Middle East stirred up against Europe and tying up their ability.
And the first notice of this, I think, will be while we're busy in the Middle East, they'll go into Taiwan.
Yes.
And that will be the sign that this thing is going to break loose.
I think you're so right about that.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks much, George.
Okay, let's move on. Let's pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Where are you calling from? Where are you?
I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Is it cold?
I have a fire brewing. It's probably like below 20 degrees.
Below 20?
Yeah.
20 below or below 20? Hold on now. 20 below? 20 below
no,
zero
no,
or
no.
below
20?
No,
that's up in Fairbanks.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Anchorage. We're about 20. I would say maybe 18 now.
Tick under 20. All right. Yeah, that's
so,
not too bad. It's chilly, but I've been in worse.
And keep the fire burning so the cold air doesn't come down through the flue. banking on your last caller, or not the last one, but the one before who was a trucker, I used to be a trucker back in the 70s, running up towards the 80s. I've got probably just shy under 500,000 miles under my belt. It was a romantic time. It was what we called the Iron Horse Age. Where we just loved running coast to coast. I used to haul produce from the Southwest up to the Northeast. I have seen a murder.
You have seen a murder? You mean like on the road while you were rolling along?
No, actually, it was at Hunts Point Market. The truck in front of us had checked in, and while the guy was in there, somebody went in to steal their CB and their radio, and the wife woke up in the sleeper, and we saw the guy, and she was dead. He slit her throat.
Oh, my God.
And so it was like, you know,
did they catch this guy?
No, I have no clue. We just gave evidence to police.
We
dropped our load and we were gone.
Yeah.
It's part of my history. And to all the truckers out there that are listening right now, if you all give your air horns one big woo, I mean, in honor of Ramona, in honor of just the way that it used to be before computers and everything else, the way that I hear it is now, I am so glad I don't have a CDL anymore.
Why?
It's just too controlled. We got our loads. We knew when the load had to be there. I have seen very many great things across this country due to the fact of my job. I've seen wagon wheel rut marks on the Oregon Trail that are still there.
You mean like in the mud?
In the mud. I have seen a Pony Express station. I have seen so many things.
There's a part of America that just won't go away. You went away. Where'd you go? Man, these phones, there's something clicking there. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. This is Barbara calling from Pahrump, Nevada.
Oh, hi, Barbara.
Art Bell Country.
Yeah, you sure are.
And you know what? This is so odd because I have listened to you and I have tried to get through to you for two solid years. And I'm telling you, Ramona's with me tonight because I just wanted to convey that I don't know if all your Coast listeners know how much Art and Ramona were involved in this small community out here. And, you know, they, you know, we hear you on Coast to Coast from 10 to 2 or to 6, you know, all night long.
Yeah.
But they're our local radio station all day long. And Ramona does many of the voiceovers. And they used to have a show on Saturdays where we could call in. And they were so community involved. And I just, I was so upset when I heard the news last night on your show. I mean, I haven't slept since then. I just, it almost feels like losing a family member.
I understand.
And I feel so awful for Art. I just, you know, there's just no words. There's no words to say. And they were just, regardless of whatever your political views were with, you know, Art or whatever, you know, they were just such a major part of this community. I mean, there's no way to convey the loss. There really isn't. And I just feel so horrible for Art. I just wanted to call and say that. I don't know what else to say other than, you know, God bless her soul and God bless Art, and we love them both.
All right, thank you. That's the way you grieve, and that's the important thing. And I've envied Art in the relationship that he has had with Ramona. I wish I had been able to do that in mine. It was very special. Next up, let's go to our international line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, this is Rafael calling from Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
Kind of nervous here because it's the first time I ever called. I've been a fan for this show for, what, 12 years, I think, almost?
Oh, good for you. Thank you
yeah,
for
you know
supporting
what?
Us.
No, thank you guys because, God, you put out there so much knowledge that I am so addicted to Coast at the beginning. I just couldn't digest too good the change from Mark Bell to George Norrie. But now when I don't listen to your voice, George, I feel like I missed something during the night.
Well, we're all family, Rafael.
You know what's great? Great shows. But the point of my call, George, you know, after listening to Mr. Quayle, I just don't understand, George, why is it that people just don't, the world, the people in the world do not evaluate the United States as a great country. You know, where it's such a great country to work, prosper, live. So great things happening out of this country. And why is it that the rest of the world is so not committed, would be the right word?
I think that it's a two-edged sword on that. And let me tell you why. One is, of course, tremendous feeling of animosity toward us for our success. You know, we're the ones that they all turn to for help. We're the ones they want us to help. And we're there. We're there all over the place. But the other part is within this wonderful country, this country that I have kissed the ground, believe it. One day when I land from a Navy plane, it has people who are out to profit for themselves. And when those people can manipulate and change, the rest of the world gets very upset with that. So within this tremendous country, and believe me, this is true, this tremendous country, those opportunists who are prepared to take advantage of the rest of the world at all costs have been doing so. And that is what they see. They don't see the real Americans. I'll be back. Hey, circle on the calendar, January 12th, that's a Thursday. That will be the debut of our prediction television show on In Demand. If you get your cable company, just find out where In Demand is. You might want to go to the website, which is www.predictions.tv or indemand.com. Take a look at it. And of all the guests we had many of them, and they were all very good. I want you to get me your reaction after the program that night on Dr. Lewis Turi. Let me know what you think of him. You know, he's been on our program before, and he had some pretty profound statements. So we'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines for the next hour and a half on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, I'll be back in Los Angeles for the program on Monday. As a matter of fact, we'll be there through the end of March, coming back to St. Louis for my son's wedding in April. Let's go back to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on. Hi there.
How you doing, George? This is Brad calling from Dayton, Ohio, AM 1290 WHIO.
Welcome to the program, Brad. How are you?
I'm here.
Good. I understand.
It's late here, and I'm at work, so I'm hanging in. Congratulations on your son. I wasn't aware there's going to be a wedding taking place.
Yeah, he has dated her since his early high school days. He's 23 now, and actually just turned 24, and this is what he wants, this is what she wants, and off they go into the sunset.
Well, that's great news to hear, and I just wanted to say, George, it's an honor to speak with you. I've spoken with you before a couple of times, and before I had a little story, before I got to that, I want to express my condolences to Art and my respects to the late, great Ramona Bell. It's amazing how much sadness one can feel for somebody that they've never even met. But, you know, like you say, it is a family. And I just wanted to say that right off the bat.
The outpouring, Brad, of affection is absolutely stunning. I cannot tell you. They just don't stop.
And no doubt.
It is so warm. When Art gets to the point where he will be able to, I think, accept the mail and the emails, because I don't think he's doing much of that right now. I truly believe he will be overwhelmed by the love that's been just pouring in.
I'm sure it will be very soothing therapy to the master, as I've heard you refer to him.
Absolutely.
Real quick, before I tell my story, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
I heard you say, now I listen to the show mainly when I'm at work, and that's usually about five nights a week, so sometimes I don't get to hear it. I know a little while back you said that you were going to do an interview with the devil.
Yes.
Is that still on the table?
That is still on the table, and most likely will occur sometime after I get back to Los Angeles.
That will be truly amazing, I'm sure. My story real quick. Tuesday night, I was off from work. And it's one of the rare times that me and my girlfriend both have a night off, so we were spending as much time together as possible.
Uh-huh.
And went to bed at night, which is unusual for me, laid down probably around midnight Eastern time. I had a horrible dream. I'm at work right now, and I work at a gas station here in Dayton, and it's in kind of the edgy part of town here.
Okay. And you're safe, though. You're locked in there, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm locked in. It's all through the drawer.
Good.
And I have a dream, and usually my dreams are stupid. I mean, you know, they don't make any sense.
Well, I don't know. There's a reason behind every dream, believe it or not.
Well, for an example, I once had a dream that Canada and Turkey were fighting in a war, and the only way to stop it was the Great Wall of Steve McQueen. If that makes any sense.
It means that you had a real bad pizza that night after watching a Steve McQueen movie.
But the dream I had was probably the most realistic, and I was at work, and it was a typical shift. Things were kind of slow, and I had a customer, kind of a shifty sort of guy, and sure enough, by the end of the dream, he pulls out a pistol and shoots me in the face.
Oh, gosh.
When I awoke, of course, I awoke immediately, and when we go to sleep, we are loyal, George. We have the radio tuned to Coast.
Okay.
Wake up, and sure enough, the first thing I hear is your announcement about the miners.
Oh, God.
I don't know if there's anything to that. I just wanted to share that with you.
That is different. I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder if the subconscious mind is, you know, dreams are done in seconds. So I'm wondering if your subconscious mind hears this. You heard the actual story. And then for some reason, and then your mind, you know, creates something. That you know, I don't know, maybe.
Nah, it could have brought my dream to an abrupt halt, or it could have been anything, but I wanted to share that with you, George, and I am looking very forward to the pay-per-view. Be kind of nice to see sort of a televised Coast.
Yeah, it is. It's in the psychics who are all on have done a marvelous job preparing for that program. And I was approached several months ago by the producers in Los Angeles who were thinking of doing the program, but they didn't really know the direction of what they wanted to do. So they said, look, we'd like to use you, but, you know, give us your thoughts. So I had a lot of input into what it was going to be like, and they did it. You know, they own most of it, and I'm very happy with it. I've seen the rough cuts of it, and I'm excited about it.
Well, I'm sure it will be a great success. I'm looking forward very much to Dr. Turi as well. And, George, I wish you all the best. Have a great night. And once again, all the best to Art Bell and his family.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. I truly appreciate it. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
George, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name is James, calling from Henderson, Nevada. I am one of those folks who have been around for a very long time and have not called in very much, but, of course, times like these kind of require it. Congratulations to you, first off. I've never spoken to you before. You're doing a fantastic job, and congratulations to your family and on your son's wedding.
Thank you.
This show began around 1978. With Art, out at Kadon. And, of course, Kadon is where he met Ramona, and he started this this very, very large family, this international family of what it's become. And I wanted Art to know, and I have a feeling that he's probably listening to us tonight. I'm one of those folks who started listening to the show when I was in the sixth grade.
Oh, my.
Smuggling a radio underneath the bed covers so my parents would not hear me being up that late at night, listening to politics, and then eventually aliens.
How did you find it? How did you find it at that young age?
Well, Las Vegas and Henderson were a pretty unique place, and late-night local radio in Las Vegas is a very interesting environment, and Art, when he was talking politics, Art was different because he wasn't just conservative on some issues or liberal on others. He was curious about all of them.
Right.
And that's what set him apart then. It's what sets him apart now. And so he's been keeping me up late since 83. And it's important for him to know he's a fellow who guards his privacy probably more than anything else besides his family, but he needs to know that the long-time listeners like myself and the short-time listeners who fall in love with the show and the professionals like you who are dedicated to it, we are here if you ever want to reach out, if you ever want to pick up a phone or go into a chat room. I know you probably don't, but you know that if you want to, we are here. We are your family. And we appreciate what you started all the way back in 78. And Ramona was part of that family too, and we all know that. So in this night where we're all grieving, let's take a look back and remember what both of them have given to all of us, and thank them both for everything that they've done. And thank you too, George.
Well said.
Have a good night.
Well said, my friend. Wild Card Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Mr. Norrie?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, pleasure. My name is John Hinkle. I'm been a high school teacher out in San Diego for about 15 years, and besides myself, a lot of my kids enjoy your show as well.
Oh, you got it as part of the curriculum, huh?
Well, yeah, we've actually started up a cryptozoology club on campus with another biology teacher. But what I called about was because every Halloween day at our school, at least in my class, we spend time talking about real-life scary stories, and some of them are supernatural, and some of them we talk about the difference between urban legends and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I usually put up 13 stories on the board, the ones that have really happened to me or close friends of mine. We talk about what's the difference between a faux, and we try and keep them as authentic as possible. And one of the stories that they consistently ask for every year is a story that a really good friend of mine told me about 3 years ago called Glenn, who's also trying to become a tenured biology teacher at the moment. One of the most strange, scary stories that just draws the hair up on the back of my neck ever since I heard it about 3 years ago. And I was wondering if your listeners, if I've heard about the shadow people before, and I was wondering if this sounds like shadow people.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Back in about the mid-70s, young boy named Glenn. He had a brother. They lived in Olympia, Washington, and he said he woke up one night during a rainstorm, electric storm, looked over to the side bed in the captain's bed that his little brother Kevin used to sleep in, noticed he wasn't there. He walks down to the stairwell. He notices his brother standing in the middle of the room in this lightning storm, calls the name, doesn't respond, goes down to him, and at the next lightning strike, his brother says, "You know what, there's someone in the front yard." And he goes, "What are you talking about? There's someone in the front yard." And the next time a lightning struck come down, he saw it too, out by the swing set, there was a black figure standing out in the front yard. It looked like it was probably facing the house.
Ooh, just staring?
Well, it had no features. That was the thing. It looked like a black silhouette, perfectly devoid of any features. Stood about 6 feet tall. And he goes up to the window himself, which is between the television and the curtains, and it's like a bay window. And he goes up to this window, and he doesn't see anything until the next lightning strike. Also, he knows he doesn't see anything at all. And he looks up, and this thing is practically nose to nose with him in the window. He turns around. His brother's already gone. He runs up the stairs, almost knocks the TV over, calls his parents out. And, you know, they think he's just making stuff up, watching too many late night movies. And nothing happens for about, 2 weeks or so. And he asks his brother to confirm what had happened to them both. And he denies having seen anything at all. He was about four, and Glenn was about probably seven at this time. And about a month later, he begins to hear whispering, like a dialogue out in the hallway. And he starts to think, well, maybe his parents are having a late night discussion or something. He gets off the bed, and the minute he gets off the bed, the whispering stops. He goes into the hallway, and all of a sudden he hears just a sinister, diabolical, "Get back into bed, get back into bed." He runs back into bed, jumps, hardly touches the ground, you know, shuts the door, pulls the covers over his head, and the voice, one of the voices exactly says, that's right, get back in the bed. And he says he starts hearing this for the period of, like, it'll happen, like, sporadically, like 7 days later, a month later, and now and then it was the same thing. He'd hear the whispering and the murmurs. He'd get out of bed, and the voices would stop, and the same thing, the diabolical, get back in bed. And he said he noticed that after that first night in the living room, his brother had stopped facing him in the captain's bed, and now and then he would actually wake up, and to his, you know, horror, you know, he's a seven-year-old boy, to his horror, he'd wake up and one of these things would be standing there in the room looking at him, what he thought was looking at him. They didn't have any eyes or anything. It was just a perfect, like, acrylic-like body that was just pure black. And the strange thing is the voices never accompanied the actual figures when they were present. They never touched him, but he said this went on for the period of about 4 years in his life, and it's the point where his parents stopped believing him, and they didn't know what to do with the kid, and it was before they actually had kids see child psychologists and whatnot.
Sure.
But he eventually got to the point where he'd watch TV up the night, because it seemed like whenever he had the TV on, the apparition wouldn't come back, and he wouldn't hear the voices, and so even though it was further away from his bedroom and parents, he'd watch the TV, and his parents just kind of let him alone, because whatever it took to calm him down, it got to be so bad. And one of the strangest things is this was in the late 70s, and he said this is where the story concludes for him. He said he's by this time he was about 11, and he'd given to watching TV. And, you know, in the old days before they had cable, he only had three or four
channels.
Yeah,
your TV, your local station, sure.
Yeah, and at the night after one channel goes out at 11, you get the bars up on the TV, and there was nothing else. They said one night he was getting kind of desperate at about 12 o'clock, and he'd gone through all the channels. There was nothing but bars and the color codes, and he he was getting kind of nervous, and he said he came on to the old PTL channel. I don't know if you remember that with Tammy Faye and
Baker. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jim,
and he wasn't religious, neither were his parents or whatnot, but they started talking about, you know, if you're dealing with alcoholism, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with demonic worship or whatever, we want you to come up right now and touch the television. And I got to tell you, the whole time Glenn is telling me this story, he's a grown man. He began to break down and almost cry, and that's how I knew it was so authentic, because I'd never seen anyone so physically moved by the kind of horror he went through as a kid, having seen these things and hearing these things. And he said at that moment, even though he didn't have religion at all in his life, and he said he believed, like the Bakers, he needed to touch that television. Said he got up, started to move towards the television, and almost instantly from behind the curtain, this thing appeared back from the window it originated and came towards the television. Here's an 11-year-old kid deciding, is he going to walk forward and touch that television, or is he going to, like, run up? And he just eventually grabbed the television, ran towards the thing, and started screaming. He repeated whatever the prayer was that the Bakers were having him say. His parents got his parents eventually woke up and came down and said, "What's going on this time?" And he goes, "It's there, Mom. It's there. Look at the curtain. Look at the curtain." And they came down. You know, Mom came down first, down the stairs, and Dad after. And he goes, "Look at that. It's there." And they both came, what are you talking about, Glenn? What are you talking about? They came up to him, and all of a sudden, the part that just, this is what raises the hackles on the back of my neck. His mother goes, "Honey, what is that?" And he said, for the first time ever, usually when his parents came or the lights came on, the thing completely retreated. So this time it left out like a shoulder and an arm behind the curtain, and his mom actually saw it. And that was like the point of when finally someone believed him. That was kind of like the release for him.
Oh,
never,
my God.
Never saw it again, never appeared again, but still just a really concrete, horrific memory in the life of someone.
That is scary. Here's the other thing, though. What if there was someone living in the attic and they didn't know it?
Well, that was the thing. It got so close to him on occasion. He said it did not look human. It had human shape, but it didn't have human features. It didn't wear human clothes. It didn't have an eye socket or nails. He said it was just a perfectly black, figure, devoid of anything.
What's so weird is it would hide and not disappear.
Yeah, sometimes he'd wake up and he'd just be standing there menacingly, never touched him, but just a diabolical, ominous force in this poor little kid's life.
And how is he now? You know, you were telling me he's somewhat broke down again as an adult, but is he okay?
Well, I told him about your story. I said, you know what, there's these things called shadow people on Coast to Coast Night, and I got on your website and I've seen some of the pictures. And,
sure.
And I appreciate some of them were debunked, and they said, well, this is a picture of someone moving in the room. I had him get on that, and he was really interested. He'd be telling the story himself. He's not tenured yet. And that's the last thing someone wants is a supposed crazy teacher in
yeah,
the classroom.
A teacher who sees shadow people,
yeah, but
right?
But from what you've heard, does that sound like shadow people? Or
it sure does.
Does it?
No, that sounds like shadow people to me with a different emphasis, a special twist. I mean, this is very demonic. And, some people see shadow people with hats. I saw one in this cave studio I'm in St. Louis several weeks ago, going right across from me. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they're out there. I just don't know where they are. I think they're dimensional. Okay, thanks for the call.
Love your show. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the story. If you need to email me, well, that's george@coasttocoastam.com for you new listeners here to Coast to Coast. And we will be back. We've still got another hour of open lines to go. Next week, of course, the show originates out of Los Angeles. We've got a great series of guests for you lined up. Don't forget Ian Punnett tomorrow night. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM.